Okay, we are continuing, and we're almost done with our discussion of a Christian worldview. We have special guests in next week, and then the following week we're going to finish this Christian worldview series. The Sunday after that is the 6th of November with the baby dedications. We'll have communion. That'll be pretty much the service. It'll just be a very short, like a meditation goes with that, probably explaining that what a dedication is, that kind of a thing. And then it's 2 weeks to Advent. Okay? Yeah, okay. Everybody take a deep breath now and settle back down. Whew, yeah. Thanksgiving is coming up fast. So, but we're continuing our discussion of a Christian worldview. And just the idea is to kind of understand how, as Christians, we can look at the world. What does the Bible tell us about the reality of the world? What is really going on? Now, in previous weeks, we talked about that there's an absolute God who created everything, and he defines morality. The creator God is far beyond us. He's completely powerful. He's all-knowing. He's the author of life, so he has all authority. The author has authority. We also talked 2 weeks ago, humanity is part of creation, but we're different. Okay? Whereas God spoke everything else into being, God formed Adam and Eve, and he breathed life into them. There's a part of God imprinted on us that is different than the rest of creation. God made the world for us to take care of, and we're tied to it, and it is tied to us. But something is wrong, isn't it? I mean, things aren't the way they ought to be. Things just aren't right. We're not what we should be. And you know, the problem is not modern politics and our arguments with each other. I mean, it's not racism. The problem is not sexual identity struggles. The problem is not chauvinism. Okay, it's not immigration. It's not rampant individualism. It's not drug use. It's not crime or hopelessness. It's not the decline of the family. It's not greed or pride. They're not the problem. But they're symptoms. These are all symptoms of what the problem is. And, of course, the problem is that humanity is fallen. We are fallen. We're lost. We have rebelled from the Creator, and now we have a predisposition to sin. Isn't it easy to sin? And as people come to Christ, isn't it hard for people to say, "Yeah, but you know, I'm going to have to give up things. You know, I like the evil that I do, although we don't call it evil." Right? We don't define it in those terms, but we like the things that we do. We've rebelled from God, so we have rebelled from what is good. God is good. We've rebelled from him. We've rebelled from what is good. It's too easy for us to do what we know is wrong. And it's too easy for us to think wrong. I mean, the fallen state affects everything about us. Okay, our bodies are fallen, so we get sick. We die. That's not what we were made for. You know, cancer is indicative of the fall. That official gunk, technical term. I mean, if we weren't fallen, there wouldn't be gunk. Our emotions are fallen, and they mislead us, and they try to control us. And our minds are fallen. Our thinking is wrong. We so easily think that what is wrong is right and what is good is bad. And, you know, our best human reasoning is foolishness. Just think of how easily we gravitate towards corruption. All of us. We gravitate towards corruption. And how many incredibly smart people just will not accept that this is a created order and that God is the creator. How many? I mean, there are incredibly intelligent people that just refuse to even consider it. We're fallen. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Okay, you can follow along behind me. It's page 1112, 1112 of the Pew Bible. If you have your own Bible, you got to find it yourself. Romans 1, starting at verse 18. So this is the story of fallen humanity. This is a description of what it means to be fallen. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of the bodies with one another. God just let them go then. Look, if that's what you want, go. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, that not only continue to do those very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Just a little sidelight when it talks about God giving people over to this. I think part of the created order is that God is love, and he has created us to love God. And love requires a choice. You can love him or not. And it's a real choice. You really have the ability to make that choice. And when people make the choice, I mean, God could stop us. God could do anything. He could stop us. But he says, look, if that's your choice, then go ahead. And then he just lets us go that way, if that's the way we want to go. People tend to be unloving, selfish, lacking joy, lacking peace. We tend to be impatient and mean and spiteful, unfaithful, harsh, self-indulgent. We're fallen. We do not naturally turn to good. There is one fix for this. One. Only one. Nothing else will work. Everything else is like trying to stop a flood with a teaspoon. The name for the fix is Jesus. That's his name. He paid the price for our sin, and he brings healing to us. Certainly, many don't accept Christ. Many people do not accept Jesus. They don't accept that he is the fix for our fallen state. Many don't even accept that we're fallen. They're lost. Their minds are wrong. Their thinking is wrong. People search for answers all over the place in all kinds of things, but they don't work. I mean, if you want proof of that, look around. The other answers don't work. Jesus heals. He heals physical ailments. I mean, people born blind and they can see. People lame and they can walk. He heals cancer. He heals all kinds of ailments. He also heals our brokenness. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25 tells us, He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Okay, the tree is the cross. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus heals. Through him and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can die to sin and live for righteousness. We can do that. He's our caretaker. Okay, the shepherd, the one who watches over us and helps us. He guides us. He leads us. Very specifically about worldview, Jesus is the only way to redemption. There is no other. He's the only way to be healed from sin and its corruption. There is no other. He's the only way to heaven. He is the way and the truth and the life. Amen. All other religions are false. All of them. All of them. They are either nothing or they're demonic. All of them. All other fixes miss the real problem and can't solve it. All other fixes. Okay? Our government is not going to solve this problem. By the way, they're not really part of the problem either. They're another symptom. Okay? Unfortunately, many of us, maybe most of us, don't really want to be healed. See, I think most of us like the corruption that we live in. We like our own corruption. We just don't like others. Andrew and I were talking about raising pigs this morning. It's like we don't like the mess of other people's pigs. Or maybe we all live like pigs and we just don't like the fact that everybody else is rolling in the mud. But our mud's okay. Right? As a matter of fact, that goes into if my mud is the same as somebody else's mud, I often get really, really upset about their mud. You know? I mean, how often have we had pastors, have you heard about pastors who have railed against homosexuality to find out they're homosexual? That's why Jesus says, before you talk to somebody about the speck in their eye, take the log out of your own. You see, we like our own corruption. We like our own sin. We just don't like other people to sin. It's like we like the idea that people are in charge of their own lives as long as you're the one in charge. Right? It's not anarchy if everybody listens to me. See, we tend to prefer comfort over healing. We want to go to heaven, but we don't want to be healed. We want to be made to feel better. But we don't want to get rid of the filth. We prefer to fulfill our fleshly desires. We want God to meet our personal preferences. We want God to be the way we decide he ought to be. Right? And if he isn't, we tend to mock him. and reject him. You know, if God isn't like, we want to feel better, not be better, is where it comes down to. We want to feel better, not be better. And this goes for Christians as well as non-Christians. I mean, how many of our prayers have to do with comfort? Make me feel better. Take away my pain. Get me out of the trouble that has resulted from the specific decisions I made that I knew were bad. Okay, I've made a bunch of really bad decisions, but I don't want to admit that, but get me out of it anyway, God. Am I meddling yet? I hope so. Okay. This is meant to be a little more healing than comforting today. I want to go back to that 1 Peter verse 1, 24 and 25. Okay. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The text tells us that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was for more than just getting into heaven. It was so that we could die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we're able to live above the corruption. Get out of the filth. Like the prodigal son, getting out of the pit with the pigs and going home. We were going astray. We were following the wrong path. But now as Christians, supposedly we've returned to the shepherd, the good shepherd. And he leads us on the right path. But our problem is we keep wanting our own path. What we want is to go back to the Father and get the ring and the robe and still sleep with the pigs. That's what we want, don't we? I mean, think about it. Don't think about anybody else. Certainly do not think about your spouse. Whatever you do, don't think about your spouse or your brother or sister. All right, I see you. It's a lot easier to think about them. Okay, think about yourself. We need to follow Jesus, okay? He's the shepherd. He's the overseer. He's the one who leads us. We need to go where he leads. He has the path to follow, and we need to follow it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the thing about his death and the Holy Spirit in us is he makes it possible for us to say no to sin and to say yes to living righteously and to following him. We have the choice now to follow Christ. We're saved by grace through faith, and then we're called to follow our Savior Jesus. That's why he's the shepherd. But his path isn't our path. See, our own path is going astray, doing the wrong things, going the wrong places. Often, our own path is looking for the easiest way. Admit it to yourself. It's looking for the easy way, the fast way. The most comfortable way. That's our nature. Look, I'm tired of being who I am. I want to be somebody else. I'm tired of trying to live right life, live life correctly. I'm going to go do something that I want to do. Okay, tonight's for me, and I'm going to go wallow in the mud. Our nature is to go the easy way, the fast way, the comfortable way. Lord, I want healing, and I want it now. But I'll be patient for 2 minutes. But Jesus wants to take us the healing way. Okay? Jesus wants to take us the healing way. That's his nature. Our nature is the easy, fast, comfortable way. His nature is the healing way. And they rarely are the same. You know, in a variety of ways, the last 6 years or so have been very, very difficult for me. Maybe the hardest of my life in a variety of things. Okay? But they've been the most healing. I've had to come face to face with bad things in my life, things inside of me, things I've held for a very long time. For instance, I have recognized that I have a way overdeveloped need for affirmation. And I will do things I should not do in order to be affirmed. Okay? I have seen that my faith isn't very strong and my prayer life is very pathetic. God has shown me that over these years and more. And in the middle of the struggle, those things are getting better. I mean, I could say that I'm now the most faithful person I know with the strongest prayer life and the most humble, but none of those things would really work. But my faith is greater than it was. That I can say. And my prayer life is better than it was. And my need for affirmation, now that I recognize it and God has shown me where it came from and what it's all about, it's not so strong. See, Jesus is working on those things, but it has meant going down a path that I don't like. It's this hard path that has been healing. The hard path has been absolutely wonderful. Two last short points. Jesus and the truth of his healing, Jesus and the truth of his healing need to be shared. They have to be. We can't hide this. Matter of fact, it's part of the healing is to share this. No matter what the lost may say, they need to hear this. It would be selfish for us to hide this. If we're afraid of what people think, that is selfishness. I mean, if I'm supposed to share with somebody, and I say, I'm not going to do that because they might think badly of me, what I am saying is, I am more concerned with me feeling bad than them knowing the truth. I don't know how to define any other word than by being selfish. I'm worried about me than their eternal security. Their eternity may be hanging in the balance, and I don't care. Because it's going to be awkward. Jesus really is the fix for this fallenness. And there is no other. The second thing, and as we close, the question is, will you follow Jesus? Now, normally when that question is asked, it means, you know, will you pray to have Jesus in your life? But I'm talking about, will you follow him? Let him lead, right? I remember reading the book, you know, God is my co-pilot. And, you know, that is just not the way it works. Okay? You're not even the co-pilot. You're in the back seat, right? I mean, if this is an airplane, he has the controls, and you're just along for the ride. Let him take you down the hard, wild, wonderful paths. And it feels like you're out in the wilderness. At least I do. Will you stop seeking comfort and seek healing? Here is a great prayer to use. Okay? Search me, God. Look in my life, is what that says. And then break me. Break me. Okay? And that hurts. Stretch me. Lead me and use me. That is an incredibly wild prayer. It's a challenging prayer. And I think it's very powerful if you will really mean it. And just, God, I'll do what you want. So let's pray, and then we have a final song. Lord God, search us as we sit here. Is there anything that we need different? Is there anything we need to know? Tell us what we need to know. Show us what needs to be changed. Show us what needs to be reinforced. You are the God of love, and we know you will do this in love, as uncomfortable as it may get. And Lord, break us. We can be so stubborn. And we can act so strong on our own. Help us to see, Lord, that we're not that strong. And stretch us. Heal us. Change us. Stretch us into new areas. Maybe be willing to walk the new paths that you would have. Maybe be willing to let you lead us into the wilderness. The holy wild, as some have called it. Lead us, Lord, and use us. However you want. We are following you. Amen.